Bibles to John chapter 15. That'd be great. I passed out some handouts this morning. If you didn't get one, I've got them right up here in case you need them, if you'd like to follow along. I want to talk about three words of intimacy, of relationship. I was really excited about the message we were going to be sharing this morning. Yeah, just please help yourself. And this church is great. It's got pens in all the pews and I love that, so you're ready. I like doing handouts sometimes. Helps me kind of focus, get my eyes on what I'm doing, helps me learn more than one way. Brother Lawrence was really gracious. A lot of times he laughs at me because I've been using a typewriter for years. And sometimes he just kind of looks at it sometimes and, you know, it's like I'm, you know, pressing a sharp stick in clay, you know. But he was really good. He passed them out and everything. So I appreciate that, brother. Not mocking me today. I like that. John chapter 15. I want to read this, and then we're going to pray over it. And I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the leadership that's here, those that have given oversight to this conference. Before I read this, I want to ask a question. How many of you kind of struggled getting to this conference? How many of you found it a little bit hard just to get here? Anybody find it a little bit difficult? Just you? A couple of us? You can be honest. I mean, if you're not going to be honest, it's not going to work. Because the whole idea of relationship and intimacy is honesty. It's transparency. If we don't have that, we've got nothing. So it was a bit of I had a lot of stuff going on. We're just getting back from vacation. And you know how stressful it is. You come back from vacation, you're kind of working hard. So sometimes it's a little tough to get somewhere. I want you to know that you're here by divine appointment. You know this already, but I want to just reinforce that word. God brought you here for such a time as this. You're here for a purpose. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. Now, so John chapter 15, familiar passage to probably a lot of us. If not, that's okay, but I'd like us to maybe see it in a new light. Beginning in verse 4, Jesus said, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Maybe, you know, whatever translation you have, maybe we could read verse 7 and 8 out loud together. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And Lord, we just ask you to open up your word today. I want to be the person to say, I can't do it, I can't share it, I can't teach it. Holy Spirit, come and give us eyes to see today, give us ears to hear, give us minds that can understand spiritual truth, give us hearts that will receive and bring forth a harvest 30, 60, 100 times. You're the great encourager, you're the great teacher, best teacher who ever lived. You step forward, Jesus, and you share with us today. Share with us your heart, your word, your life. That's really what we need. We don't need more messages, we need more you. Lord Jesus, come. Just come in me. Come in each one of us. Just overflow in us. And I just pray for that spirit of joy that Leonard spoke. I receive that as a prophetic word for us today. Oh, God, let your joy overflow in this place. Come, Lord, and speak to me today. Dear Lord, speak to each one of us today. Anything not of you, just push it away. Everything, that even stuff I don't say, God, I pray you minister to our heart because you're the good minister. Come and speak. We're going to give you all the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The first word I want to share with you today, there's three words. I was excited last night because Bishop Henry, I lost you, Henry. Where are you? I know you're around here somewhere. There you are. He also had three words. It's like, oh, good, three words. I like it. I got different words, so it's good. The first word I want to share with you is the word meno, M-E-N-O. M-E-N-O. If you want to do your fill-ins, you can. If you don't, you're not tested on this. It's okay. But as we kind of break this open, it really was exciting to me. The first word is meno. It's translated in this version, remain. Older versions might say continue. King James Version, abide. Abide in me. Actually, I did the math last night as Brother Henry was sharing. I think you were alive when King James was doing
the Bible, right?
I want to move right along here. I'll get in trouble for that one. I said I did the math as you were sharing last night. You were around when King James wrote that first translation. Okay, yeah. This idea of abiding, remaining, this word meno, every time you see that word remain or abide or continue, whatever you've got in your particular verse, every time it's there in John 15, it's that word meno. So if you want to underline it every time, it's that word meno, and it's really kind of cool. And that's our first word, it's remain. The key to fruitfulness, the key to ministry, the key to everything in our Christian life is this word meno. It's abiding. It's remaining in Jesus Christ. Everything, the key to virtually everything that you and I are ever going to need spiritually is found right here in this one word, remain. In verse 4, it says, remain in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. Meno in me, I will meno in you. We can't bear fruit by ourselves. How many of you have tried to bear fruit by yourself? And sometimes it comes out of a really good heart. You just want to do a great thing for Jesus. Is that right? I mean, I'm just going to do this thing, and we come up with our program or our plan. I'm going to really do it. We'll squeeze out a little apple or a grape for Jesus. But really, it's plastic fruit most of the time. Because true fruitfulness is always going to be a product of abiding, of remaining, of continuing in the vine. Fruit. You will bear fruit. Verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains, menos in me, and I in him, me in him, he will bear much fruit. Say much fruit. Much fruit. This is God's promise. And it's not a product of me trying harder, doing more. It's a product of what? Meno, abiding in the vine. I remain in him, he remains in me, I will bear much fruit. And I like that next part. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do another, because I'll tell you what, we can do all kinds of things, but when it's all done, it's not fruit that remains. It doesn't last. Down in verse 7. If you remain, meno in me, and my words remain, words meno in us, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. So we're saying the key to fruitfulness, the key to ministry, the key to answered prayer is all found in this one word, remain. It's abiding in him. It's continuing in him. I heard a story one time about a man. He was really concerned about his wife. She was losing her hearing. She's going deaf. He's real concerned. Goes to the doctor. She won't admit she's got a problem. You know how that is. More for men, I think, than women sometimes. But he goes to the doctor. Doctor, I'm really nervous. My wife's losing her hearing. I don't know what to do. He says, well, let's come up with an action plan. Let's stage something so we can find out exactly how bad her hearing loss is. So you get her in a room sometime with her back to you, and we'll measure the distance, and you talk to her while she's not looking, and then we'll find out exactly what's going on. We'll see how deteriorated her hearing is. And he was all excited to have an action plan for that. So one day he comes home, and his wife's about, you know, from here to the end of these benches away, cooking. So he walks, oh, perfect. Hey, honey, what's for dinner? Hey, honey, what's for dinner? No answer. Honey, what's for dinner? I was getting concerned. Honey, what's for dinner? And she turns to him and says, for the fourth time, we're having lasagna. And I wish that wasn't so much my spiritual walk, but sometimes that is, you know. So as I'm sharing about intimacy with the Lord and hearing from God, I'm working on this too every day. It's not like you, oh good man, we got that figured out. We've got to kind of keep listening. I desperately want communion, fellowship, intimacy, relationship with God. And if you're more cerebral, sometimes it's harder for people like that, like us, to get that. I mean, all of us know the more mystical people that, oh man, I just came into the presence of Jesus and I'm just undone. Man, I'm glad you're undone. I'd like to be undone too. I get what you're saying, but how do I get that? How do I pursue that? How can I receive that in my life? Well, the first step for me, from a word perspective, I want to experience this word remain, abiding. The picture is, I don't want to rip apart their vase too much here, but think of the petal remaining on the flower. Because when I was younger in the Lord, I'd read this, abide in me and I'll abide in you, and all I could really understand about that was stay saved. I'm abiding in Christ. I got born again. I didn't do anything. I didn't leave. I'm still saved. And that was kind of it. But I realize it's more than just being born again. It's more than just being saved. We're talking about an intimate, dynamic fellowship, communion. It's like the petal on a flower. That's how that remains. It's like the vine on a branch. That's how that remains. It's like an apple tree branch on the apple tree. It remains by staying connected. I mean, it's an intimate, vital, organic union, and that's what God's got for us. That's what He wants us to do. He says, if you do that, you're going to bear fruit. And it makes perfect sense when you think about it. Doesn't it mean an apple branch stuck on an apple tree? What's going to happen? Does that apple branch have to stress a whole lot? Fruit, 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 fruit. Yeah. I'll tell you what, because we do that as Christians sometimes, don't we? I mean, and again, sometimes it comes out of a good heart, but what it winds up a lot of times is us just working harder for Jesus and not abiding in Him enough. And that's one of the biggest things that I have to do in my life all the time is spend time with Him and not do stuff for Him. Key to intimacy, right there. Key to fellowship. So as we're pursuing the presence of Jesus, that's what it is. So our three words of fellowship, relationship, the first one is the word meno. The key to fruitfulness is abiding, is relationship. It's fellowship with the vine. That word, again, meno, means to remain, to continue, to abide. Sometimes it says to dwell or lives, live in Jesus. And living in Jesus is connected that way. And the picture, again, it's not just staying saved. It's not just going to church. It's this vital, organic union. You're connected to God. You're connected to Him. I don't want to ever give you the opinion that I arrived at that either. I'm working at it. We're still doing that. And he says in this verse 7, if you remain in me, abide in me, meno in me, and my words remain in you. Say words. The words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the ministry of Jesus is so important. My words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. That's how you and I can pray effectively. It comes out of relationship with God. That's how I know I'm praying right. Sometimes, God, what do I pray? I don't know how to pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me pray. And I know the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 8. But I can know I'm praying according to God's will when I'm connected to the vine because it's His life flowing in me. Does that make sense? Because we know in 1 John chapter 5, it says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. That's what I connect with this, because some people might say, well, so I can ask whatever I wish and it'll be given to me? Yeah, well, it's anything I wish, and it's going to be according to His will. Oh, I knew there was a catch. Well, but if I'm connected to the tree, it really isn't a big problem. Now I know what He wants, because it's His life flowing in me. I'm trying to develop this out of relationship. I don't have to do a whole lot of stuff for my wife, Claudia, lovely wife, Claudia. How many years is it now? 39 and a few. I'm getting older. I can't remember all those years. 39 years. So I don't have to do a whole lot of stuff for her that she doesn't appreciate. You know, it can really come out of relationship and out of fellowship. That's also a picture of us in Jesus, isn't it? That kind of fellowship, a husband and wife. That's what God's after. That's why He says it's a picture of Christ in the church. That's what He had in mind. So first word, meno. In verse 7, just notice that. You remain in me. That word, what's that word again? Meno. You abide in me, and my words, meno, abide in you. Ask whatever you wish. Now, how do I have God's word, the words of Jesus, remain in me? And this takes us to our second word. I'm going to just do a couple of these real quickly. John 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoa, this is powerful. If you love me, John 14, 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I'm going to give you what this word means in a minute here, so hang in or you get the wrong idea. Let's go to John 14, 23 and 24. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I'm going to read that again. If anyone loves me, how many of you love Jesus? We love Jesus. If you love me, you will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. How many want to be loved by God? Oh, cool, right? My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's dwelling in us. That's relationship. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now, one more we're going to do here, and then we'll break it up a little bit here. In John chapter 15, a little bit further down, we just finished with verse 8. Verse 9, John 15, verse 9. These are on your sheet if you're trying to skip, hey, where's this guy going? John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Stop for just a second here. How many of you think that God the Father loved God the Son? Is that a trick question? Talk to me. How many of you think that God the Father loved God the Son? Oh my, this is my beloved Son, right?
This is my beloved Son.
You know, a lot of cool stuff. With whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Isn't that powerful? And then look what he says. Now remain in my love. What do you think that word remain is? You see how important that is? Meno. That's so important to have this connection thing going, or this whole thing doesn't work. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, same thought. This is going to be the same word. We saw obey, obey, obey. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed. I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain, abide, continue in His love. Okay, now what does this mean here? Because if you read this wrong, if we don't understand what this is trying to say, we're going to say, I don't obey God. God don't love me. And that's not what this is saying at all. It's a whole different picture here. This is the next key word for fellowship. The first key to fellowship is that word meno, abiding in the love of Jesus. And this next thing, if I'm going to abide in the love of Jesus, we just read, now remain in my love. How do I remain in the love of Jesus? He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Say that, because that's powerful. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. How do I remain in the love of Jesus? He says, obey. But let's break this out a little bit here, because the second word that we want to look at is the word terio. T-E-R-E-O. If you're doing the fill-in, terio. The second word is terio. And each time we're reading obey in this translation, it's the word terio. The word terio. Some versions call it, will say observe. If you have, you know, Henry's original King James Version, it says keep, I think. Is that how we wrote it? I'm just messing with you. I'm playing. I love this guy. The second key is this word terio. And the word terio, I like the word observe to translate that. Terio is good because it means my focus is on that. I'm observing it. Obviously, the idea is that I observe it. I'm looking at it with intent to do it. But it means that my focus is in the right place. My heart's in the right place because I'm hugging onto Jesus. I'm abiding in the vine. And the way I continue abiding is by keeping, by observing, by terioing His commands. We read that three times. There's a lot more times in here, too, where it says that. But it's not saying, obey or I don't love you. And it's not saying, if you want me to love you, you got to obey. That's not what He's trying to get across here. He's saying, keep your eyes on me. That means I got a word focus. I care about what Jesus says. Isn't that what worship is? Just giving Jesus all our attention? Paying attention to the things that are important to Him? And I'll tell you, I can get off of my own subjective thoughts. I can get my mind telling me the wrong things to do. Anybody ever do that? You're sure it was Jesus and it wasn't? I'm not seeing a whole lot of hands. Anyway, I can put both mine up because you know what I'm talking about anyway. You saw, how many of you know somebody that did that? Oh, there we go. Yeah, you know what I'm, that's it, you know. I don't you love the pastors when people come to, I know somebody that really needs that message. The other one I really like is when people say, God told me to do this. How do you deal with that as a pastor? You know, God, because you look like you say, I think that's a really terrible idea. You're fighting against God. So it's tricky stuff. You can give me counsel on that. I'm still working at it. Second key word to fellowship is terio. You'll observe my commands. If you love me, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love. And it's the idea of terio is this idea of observe. It has to do with my focus. I think a good analogy might be like we're supposed to observe traffic signs, right? I mean, obviously, if I'm observing the traffic sign, I'm focusing on the traffic sign. But it's more than, oh, they want a stop sign. They want another one. It's more than just, I'm observing with intent to actually do it. And that's kind of the idea. It helps me with my walk. It helps me do what I'm supposed to do. It helps me be in the right place. Terio, observe. It's not legalistic. It's not obey or I'm not going to love you anymore. It's keeping our spiritual eyes, our focus on Jesus Christ. Keeping our spiritual eyes, our focus on the Word of God. First word intimacy is meno. It's abiding, continuing, having relationship, having fellowship. Second word of intimacy is terio, observing, keeping, having my focus on, having my eyes on. It just lets the Lord freely speak to me. and this is really kind of cool here. I'll say a little bit more and then I'll come back to this. It's really kind of cool because if my eyes are on the Word, then I'm going to live in His love. If you tarry o my commands, if I'm observing His commands, I minnow in His love. Did you see that? John chapter 15. If you tarry o my commands, if you tarry o my Word, if you're observing my Word, if your eyes are on what I'm telling you, you will minnow in my love. So sometimes it gets a little, man, I want to do that petal flower thing. I want to do that vine branch thing. How do I do it? Observe His commands. Keep your eyes on the Word. Keep your eyes on the Lord. It's got to be dynamic in fellowship or it's going to kill you. Don't let this get too weird. If you were to ask me, hey, Pastor, how do you fellowship with the Lord? Different ways. Sometimes I just sit in my comfortable chair and I might read the Word. I might pray. I might just sit there. Say, God, I'm just here to kind of be with you. This is your time, whatever you want to do. And sometimes, honestly, it doesn't feel like much happens. It's not like it's,
heaven opened up, hallelujah, glory came down and filled me.
It's like sometimes I feel like I sat there. Sometimes I pray in the Spirit. And maybe it's dynamic and crazy good, and most of the time it's just more normal. But I always get up from it refreshed because I gave the Lord my attention. I spent the time with Him. And I need to do that more. I need to do that more and more because, like all of us, we've got a little bit too much to do to spend time with Jesus like we should sometimes. Amen? Sometimes. Not you, me, but sometimes it's all of us. If I tarry, observe His commands, I remain in His love. So I think that's really powerful. This is kind of where, this is a good point for you that are more cerebral to connect with those that are more mystical. Because, again, I tell you, I love people. I was in Toronto years ago, man. I saw people falling over and all this great stuff. And the Lord did touch me deeply, but I don't really manifest with shaking and falling over and stuff. I kind of wanted to. You know. I thought that'd be pretty cool, but I know we're not supposed to seek signs, but that was still what I wanted. I'm just being honest. You know, give me some of that go-go spiritual juice. You know what I mean? And if this has happened to you, that's great. But this is where people that are a little bit more cerebral and interact more logically, we can interact with the people that are more mystical because those people, I come into God's presence and I'm just undone. And well, we don't have to be at odds with each other because I come into the presence of God through the Word of God. They come in one way, I come in another way, but isn't the point the presence? You know, there's more than one way to do this. It's tough because there's a girl in our church just recently. Pastor, I see angels. And they talk to me. I've got two angels following me around all the time. I don't know how to process that. Because I want to say, you know, can you show me something in the Word? I mean, I know some stuff about angels. I've sensed their presence, but I can't say that I got two that follow me around and I know what they're doing. I don't see them all the time. But we can fellowship together just great because at this point of relationship here, that's what it's all about. We're just coming into the presence of God. If you're seeing angels, that's awesome. And I'm not going to be jealous of what you got. And if I don't, that's okay too. And you don't have to be jealous of what I got. Isn't that great? We just be us. That's pretty cool. Third word of fellowship. I mean, the point really, how did Jesus say all men are going to know you're my disciples? Is it angel visitations? Is it falling out on the floor? Is it transports of glory? What is it? It's if you love one another, right? Right? By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love each other. So I really want to just encourage all of us, take that home to your congregations. Let's just spread that word of love because where that spirit of unity is, that's where God commands His blessing, even life forevermore. And I think it's a lot more important sometimes that we get along with each other. We don't have to compromise anything. Let's get along with each other and not fight about some of the small stuff because that's the place of commanded blessing. Make sense? Okay. Third word of fellowship, 1 John. 1 John. And this is the one that, for me, really puts a lot of this together. 1 John chapter 1, and I'll start in verse 5. We're talking about this, and I'm going to share a couple other kind of words in here. They're not going to be the third word, but you'll see it. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I want to read that over again. You can read that out loud with me. Are you okay doing that? Is that all right? Beautiful. Let's read that together. I really want the word to kind of penetrate, because that's what changes us sometimes. We want to carry over this word, right? We're going to do it. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies from all sin. Beautiful. God is light. I mean, he could have said a lot of things here. He could have said God is love. He could have said God is truth. But those aren't really the keys to fellowship right here. The keys to fellowship is going to come out of walking in the light. Make sense? Walking in the light. Now look at this here. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. What fellowship does light have with darkness? What's the Bible say? What fellowship is there with light and darkness? Am I totally blacking out this room? What fellowship does light have with darkness? If I flick on the light, so the light and darkness sort of mix and give us a hazy gray, that's what compromise looks like. You can't have it both ways. It's light or it's dark. You know what I mean? Beautiful. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. And I'm going to share a couple other words, but they're not the third word we're looking for. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship. Anybody know what that word fellowship is? Koinonia, exactly right, which is kind of funny because we're koinonia, fellowship of churches. So we're actually saying we're fellowship. When you think about it, we're koinonia, fellowship of churches. If we have fellowship, this is the word we're digging out, right? Relationship, intimacy. How many of you want intimacy? Relationship, meant presence, that's what we're digging out, right? If we claim to have koinonia, fellowship, intimacy with him, yet walk in the darkness. That word walk every time in 1 John is pretty much this word peripateo. That's not the key word. But peripateo means that the whole course of my life, the whole course and manner of my life and action are governed by something. And if I'm living like I'm in the darkness, if I'm living for the devil, he says, you're not living in the light. It should be like a duh thing. But I'll tell you what, church struggles in this. Now, if you read books, church fights over this stuff. you're into works. Oh, you're weird. Whatever. It's just God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If I want to have relationship, that's what we're pursuing. Relationship, intimacy with him. The first thing he told me I got to do is abide. I got to stay connected to him. I don't have to go looking at. And I'll tell you what, I do that a lot. I look at the wrong end of the branch. I'm looking how I'm doing instead of looking to the tree. If I hang on to the tree, the fruit will take care of itself. First word is meno. Second word is terio. I can remain in him, remain in his love, and know I'm doing it because I'm paying attention to his words. I'm not getting weird. I'm not going do all sorts of crazy stuff. You know, I'm abiding in his word. I'm paying attention to what he says. My focus is on Jesus Christ. That's terio. And if I'm going to walk in darkness, I'm lying and I'm not living by the truth. But if we walk in the light, how do I fellowship then? Well, it's going to be this word, walk in the light. Because what does fellowship with light? Light fellowships with light. I can just put on more light. Turn on more light, that just makes it brighter, right? Okay. If I walk in the light, if I peripateo, if the course and manner of my life is governed by light and looks like what Jesus does, and it's going to be if I'm living according to his word and observing his commands and abiding in the vine. This isn't complicated. It's just see what Jesus does and do that. But add a relationship with him, right? It's not hard. Okay, well, it's hard. It's not complicated, though. sometimes it's tricky. If we walk in the light, if I peripateo in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, this particular passage here, I mean, John does have other stuff about fellowship among us, but this is talking about us with God. We have, when it's talking about fellowship with one another, in this particular verse, it's talking about we have fellowship with God, us and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That comes out of walking in the light. That's what we're digging out here. We want to have fellowship, relationship, intimacy with Jesus Christ comes from walking in the light. Fellowship with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this idea. And what else did I get out of that? Did you see anything else in that verse that I also get besides fellowship? Look at the end of verse 7. I think I heard it. purifies from all sin. I get perpetual cleansing. It's cleansing and keeps on cleansing. Church, that's what holiness is all about. Man, we got weird on holiness over the years. And holiness is so important. It's a big thing in God. But holiness is not me trying harder. It's not what we call a white knuckle club. Just do more, try harder, be better. It's not about that. Holiness is a fruit of abiding in the vine. Holiness is the fruit of Jesus Christ coming through me. Don't hear any wishy-washy thing here, because I'm going to dig it out a little bit more in a second. Maybe you already got it. That's cool. But continual cleansing. That's how holiness comes out. It keeps me holy. Holiness is it's part of the will of God. And it's going to be right here. And how does that apply to intimacy? Well, blessed are the pure in heart. They see God. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I got to have holiness, but holiness is not produced by my great efforts. I'm not saying that I don't have to apply it. Don't hear that. And I'm not saying I don't have to do what God says, but it's observing the Word, doing what He says. I stop at the stop sign. Follow? Okay. Holiness is not a list of do's and don'ts. I might get in trouble here. It isn't how long your dress is or how you wear your hair. It's not the jewelry that you wear. It's not the car that you drive. It's not this thing or that thing or any other thing. Holiness is what comes from fellowship and with the light. If I'm walking in the light as He is in the light, and you're never going to walk in the light by a list of do's and don'ts. It does not happen that way. Church, it doesn't happen that way. You can't do it that way. You can't obey your way into the love of God any more than you can work your way into the kingdom of God. It's all by grace through faith, isn't it? Everything we get has got to come out of relationship and intimacy with Jesus, or we got nothing. Or we just have one more self-help club. One more 12-step program. Not hating on anything. I'm just saying it isn't how it works. Holiness is a byproduct of abiding in the vine. Holiness is a fruit of walking in the light. And I know, give a little segue here, just because I hear weird stuff on the radio and television, and so do you. Some people would say, well, the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. You got to go out there and you better start being holy, brother. You're not going to do it. And somebody else would go, the Bible says, I am the Lord who makes you holy. So it's just His holiness in me. I don't do a thing. It's both, isn't it? All the truths that people struggle on, pretty much everyone that I've ever seen in Scripture, where people argue about stuff and denominations split, is because the great truths of God are held in tension. It's not one or the other. They're both true. And being both true is what makes them strong. If I just had a rope here, it'd be in a pile. But Pastor Jim and I, we could tug on both ends. That rope gets a lot tighter. It makes it stronger. We shouldn't be fighting against each other. We should be embracing the fact the truth is held in tension. Sometimes I bring it like a bicycle wheel. Anybody ever see a bicycle spoke? They're a little and flimsy, but it'll hold my big body when it's held in tension with other spokes. And I need all the truths of God's Word to do it. So yes, God is the God who makes me holy, and as I fellowship with Him and walk in the light, the product in me is going to be what? Holiness. And walking in the light. That's how it's going to come out. Do I have to do something? Yeah, I have to abide, and I have to continue, and I have to do what Jesus says to do. But it's not like some sort of a legalistic thing. It's just walking with God. Does that make sense? Is that you following? Okay. Good, good. Appreciate it. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Abide in Christ. My eyes are on the Word. We're not even going to digging into the fellowship with the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God that indwells us. But we're going to get a little bit right here. If relationship comes from walking in the light, if that's what produces fellowship, how do I do that? How do I walk in the light? That's all going to be part of it, isn't it? There's a third key word here that I think is really good. The blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. I'm cleansed. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in holiness because I'm walking in the light as He is in the light. And His blood keeps cleansing me. Some people say, well, you can't be perfect. Well, you know, His blood makes me perfect. I'm perfect in Jesus Christ, and so are you. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful to know that we are holy people? We are His holy people. And we live out that holiness. Because He's living in us. Wow, that'll get too deep. 1 John, the third word here is found in verse 9. This is what I found. It's real important to me. This was a real key word for me. How do I walk in the light? Because that got a little bit mystical for me. I kind of got lost what it meant to walk in the light. And it came out right here. verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What keeps me out of God's presence a lot of times is darkness, because darkness and light don't fellowship. But I want to walk in the light. But how do I walk in the light? He tells us right here, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us and that cleanse us. That whole, these things are both of them in this continuous tense in Greek. Cleanses and keeps on cleansing. Purifies and keeps on purifying, right? And He purifies us from all sin. So I can just keep walking this out. The third word for fellowship is the word homologio. Homologio. Third word for fellowship is homologio. And it's really important to get this idea, for me anyway, of because we say confess. Some of us think, well, I got to confess to a person or a priest, or I have to do some sort of spiritual beating myself up. Oh, God, I'm just such a horrible person! That's not what confession is all about. That's confession, this word homo. Homo means same. Same, and logos, word. Same word. So when I'm, confession here is if I confess my sins, I'm saying the same thing about sin as God says about sin. What does it mean when I say the same? If this brother said something to me and I agree with him, we're saying the same thing, right? The same word. What do we call that when we say the same word? That's agreement, isn't it? That's fellowship. That's what confession looks like. It's not me saying, oh, I'm terrible! It's agreement. So if I walk in agreement with God, if I confess as sin what He calls sin, if I say the same thing about my life as God says about my life, I walk in fellowship with Him. I walk in unity with Him. If I homologio my sin, if I say about sin what He says about it, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Another quick segue for those of you that have to pastor and minister this. There's been a teaching around, well, we shouldn't have to confess because God's blood, you know, God cleanses us. And if you confess, what if you missed a sin? Then that wouldn't work. And they don't know what the word means. And I feel bad about that. Because its idea is walking in agreement with God. Confession, I'm going to give you just a little technical thing. Probably in your notes, Bishop Henry, from years ago on that theology thing. Confession doesn't forgive my sins. The blood of Christ and repentance are what are always connected with forgiveness of sins in the New Testament. It's the blood shed for me that forgives my sins. Confession brings me into agreement with the blood. Confession brings me into agreement with God. And that's the whole idea of homologio. I'm saying the same thing that God says. How many of you want to agree with God? Man, I know I do. That's what fellowship is all about. Isn't that what we're digging out here today? Fellowship. I got to agree with God. I'm going to say the same thing God says. If I say the same thing about sin, my sin, not yours, because God says about it, if I agree with God, I've got fellowship with Him. He forgives me and He purifies me from all sin. That's the key to walking in the light. If I'm purified from all sin, how much darkness is in me? Are I in the light? If His blood forgives me and cleanses me from all sin, every sin, if I'm clean, I'm clean, right? Isn't that light? And that's Him. And it came because all I had to do was agree. That was my part. I didn't have to do penance. I didn't have to whip myself. I didn't have to go prove myself. I had to agree. Sometimes that's hard. I'm stubborn and willful, and I don't always want to agree with God. Sometimes God tells me things I don't like. I say I like them. God wrote a book a few years back. I liked it. The title was, "The Truth Will Set You Free, but First It Will Make You Miserable." And we don't always like, I mean, all of us here, oh man, we love the Word. Oh man, I just want to love Jesus. But if the Lord confronts you with something, sometimes it's tricky, isn't it? And we know, all of us, we would be willing to say, God is good. He's good all the time. God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. It's harder to say when you're desperate. You know, when everything's gone and everything's messed up and nothing's looking so good. We're, even as pastors and leaders, we're more likely to say, God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you, God? That's why we keep observing the Word. We're fellowship with Jesus. We're observing the Word. That's why that's what's going to come out. That way, when I'm in a tight spot, I'm going to say, my God does supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Like Bishop Lawrence was telling me yesterday, He's been faithful for 42 years. He's going to be faithful for 43. You know, He's been faithful. He hasn't let me down yet. He's not going to start now. That's fellowship with the Lord. It all comes from just agreeing with God. I heard this described, and I like the illustration of like holding our cup. Kind of take our life. We did that a little bit in worship and a little bit last night with Bishop's message. We hold our lives up to God. And we let the Lord look in our life, and whatever He says, what do we say? Yes, I agree. That's agreement with God. It's really easy. Lord, this is my life. And as Jesus passes by, and because we know He's always present, He's always passing by, and He can always look in our cup, and He can always see what's there. I don't know about you. Sometimes we deny kind of what's in us. But if one of your brothers and sisters was up here and you had a big cup of coffee, and I come over and bump you, what's going to come out of the cup? Whatever's in the cup, right? Coffee in this particular case. I've seen people go through difficult times, and somebody hit their car, and they start cussing at the person. Oh, that's not me. That's not me. Yeah, actually it was. The only thing that comes out of the cup is what is in the cup. And that's one of the great things about, that's a blessing of trials for us too, because it shows us sometimes what's in the cup. It lets me know what's in there. And I don't need to say, oh God, that wasn't me. You know, that wasn't me. God says, yeah, it was. I need to confess it and say, Lord, that was me. Please forgive me and purify me from that. And that's how purification happens. I'll let Him keep skimming the junk off, you know? Keep doing that. So I'm going to hold my cup up to the Lord. Whatever He says about it, I'm going to agree with that. So walk in the light. To walk in fellowship, to walk in intimacy, koinonia, relationship, is a product, it's produced by abiding in Christ. What was that word? Hymeno in Christ. Keeping my eyes, what was that word? Terio, on His Word. I'm focused on Him and the things that He says. I'm paying attention to Him. And walking in agreement with God. That's homologio. Three words of intimacy. Three words that can help build fellowship in us. Let's stand together for prayer, and I want to do a little thing together with us, maybe. Because we can hear God. We don't have to be like the guy that, for the third time, fourth time, we're having lasagna. If the Lord promised that my sheep hear my voice, will know His voice, they recognize His voice, and they follow Him. Lord, we just ask You to speak to us now. We don't want to just be hearers of the Word. We want to do it. Lord, I pray that where I'm short of abiding in You, draw me close, God. Forgive me for when I neglect You. Holy Spirit, forgive me for grieving You and not giving You time in my life. Lord, I just commit myself. I want a minnow in You. I want to remain in You. Lord, forgive me for where I keep my eyes on my own thoughts and not Yours. I want to think Your thoughts. How can I keep my way pure by living according to Your Word? How can I know the right path? It's Your Word. Your Word settled forever in heaven. Your Word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, help me to keep my eyes on Your Word. And Jesus, You even said, they're not my words. They're Daddy's words. Father, give me those words today. I want to just keep my eyes on You and Your words. Remain in Your love. Abide in Your love. Meadow in Your love. Continue in You and have that relationship. And I just want to walk in agreement with You, Lord. I thank You that Your ways are good and You've got good plans for me. You've got a hope and a future for me. You got ministry for me. You promised fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, and I bless fruit in my life. How many of you want more fruit in your life? Just put your hands up to God. Lord, for those of us that are saying, God, we want more fruit, we're saying, first, Lord, we want to commit ourselves to abiding in You, keeping our eyes on You, remaining in Your love, walking in Your Word. But God, we do want fruit, God, because You said that was to my Father's glory, that You bear much fruit. We're not touching Your glory. We're bringing Your glory. Lord, we're not trying to take anything from You. We're not trying to do anything necessarily for You that way, even though we want to. We're saying, God, live Your life through us and produce fruit in me. Fruit, much fruit. More fruit. More fruit. I bless fruit here in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. I just want you to say this just kind of quietly to the Lord. And then listen after you say it. I love You, Lord. Just say it quietly to yourself. What do you hear? Do you hear anything back? Anybody hear anything back? Because almost every time I say that, I hear I love You too. Anybody hear that? I love You too. I love. And you might think, hey, that wasn't. Oh, that was my own thought. No, that's the Lord trying to speak to our hearts. And doesn't that line up with the Word? Doesn't when He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Do you think it's true when He says, "I love you"? I love you. I love you. I love you. Just kind of take your life. Think of holding it up like a bowl before the Lord. God, here's my life. What do You say? It's walking in the light. That's what it is. What do You say? What do You say about my life? And whatever He says, I say, yes, Lord. That's homologio. I say the same thing He says. Whatever You say, Lord. You might get something long. You might get something short. I just bless your words to each one of us, God. I pray that we're going to just enter into such a deep time of intimacy and relationship and fellowship that you're just going to renew that. Restore our joy. Restore our hearts. I pray we're going to have that. We're not going to forsake our first love. We're going to just keep pressing into knowing you. And when we're as we go through this time together that we're sharing together over these next days, we're going to just love you more and more. More and more. More and more. Grow closer and closer to you. Grow in intimacy with you, relationship with you, fellowship with you, and everything, everything, everything.